A very good morning, Tune. It's a sad morning here in County Wexford this morning. As you're about to hear, we'll have tributes pouring in for the late Ned Wheeler, perhaps one of the greatest Gaels the sport of hurling has ever seen. A man who appeared in 7 All-Ireland finals, has 3 All-Ireland medals, and who first came to prominence on the inter-county scene as a member of the Wexford senior hurling team in the late 1940s. He truly was a remarkable man, and a man I'm very pleased to have called a friend. We now pay tribute to him, and if you'd like to text in those comments as well, as we acknowledge the work of Ned, and also we pay tribute and thank his family for giving us permission to honour him this morning. It's a very sad time for them. It's a very sad time for Wexford. I'm joined by someone who knew him extremely well, Liam Griffin. Good morning to Liam.
Good morning, Alan. Yeah, it's a sad day, obviously, a very sad day. But look, Ned wouldn't want it to be too sad. He'd want to be joyous as well, because he's been lucky in life as well, you know, and he knows that, he knew that. And I'm glad to say I was with him for an hour yesterday, and, you know, he was still very lucid and still, you know, bright, and his handshake was as strong as ever. So it's very hard to believe that he passed through the night, but that's life. And, you know, we've lost one of the greatest, no question about it, not just one of the greatest Wexford hurlers, but one of the great hurlers of all time. And, you know, Wexford were lucky people as well in relation to Ned. Ned was born in Rathdowney in County Leash in 1932, played minor for Wexford, and then played senior for Wexford before his 19th birthday, and played in the All-Ireland final of 51 and played in the 6 All-Ireland finals. There'll be never another Wexford man playing 6 All-Ireland for a long time to come. So his contribution to Wexford hurling was enormous. His contribution to the Martins when he lived in Piercestown, and then to the Harriers afterwards. He was ever present in my life since I was a child, and
you okay, Liam?
I'm fine.
Liam, yeah. You became great friends. In fact, you would meet on a daily basis. Is that right? You gymmed together.
Yeah, but I knew him for way longer than that, from the time I was a child, and so he was very supportive to me always. Even when I was playing, he was very supportive to me, and he was very supportive to me when I became the Wexford manager, and, you know, always encouraged me to go forward and do what I could for Wexford. But look at his wife Kathleen has been, you know, his rock as well. She is a balancing act for Ned, I can tell you, and he's a lucky man to have Kathleen and the girls and the family. So his family were his life, but in later life, like he was an example to everybody in terms of his fitness and in terms of the way he keeps himself well. And we've got to thank God for one thing, that he didn't suffer long. I think he might have suffered a little longer than we thought, but he was in the gym pulling weights, a couple of months ago. So, look, we've lost a giant, we've lost someone special. Wexford's lost it, and hurling has lost it, and certainly all the people in Ferry will miss him greatly, because he was larger in life and had a great circle of friends out there, and we were all privileged to know him, and I know they'll be very, very upset as well. So, Arias Dare and Alan Dealish, and in the words of Patrick Carney, we may have great men, but we'll never have better.
Looking back on his hurling prowess, and he was a great raconteur and storyteller, wasn't he?
Great raconteur, great singer, beautiful singer. The 56 match against Tipperary was one of his great moments. Ned actually nearly led that rally, which were 14 points down at half time against Tipperary, in a time when scoring was difficult, when everyone marked each other and people were close together, and it was a different type of game at the time. But Ned doubled on a high ball in the middle of the field and put it over the bar and hit the back of the wall at the railway end. And that stirred Wexford, and Wexford came back to win that game, in a marvellous game. And his next highlight was the 56 All-Ireland to beat Cork. But, you know, the one thing that I knew, that many, many people called to see Ned, many great hurlers, like everybody regards him as a gentleman. And I remember one of the Tipperary guys said to me, you know, there was a time when we hurled that everybody who wasn't full of gentlemen, but in a game where there might have been not many gentlemen, Ned was the gentleman that stood out above all. And he made friends in victory and defeat after every match. Look, the man was a marvellous sportsman. He never a bully on the field, just hurled the ball first time. I never saw him pull a dirty stroke in my life. And that's some tribute to a man who was centre field and managed to play from the time he was 19 right through to his mid-30s. So yeah, you couldn't say that any better than that. And he's well regarded all over Ireland by hurling people. Personally, I've lost a great friend. Miss him greatly. But look, we were all lucky and privileged to have known him.
Some went in pony and traps. They left on a Wednesday, and they went up somewhere to Dun York by name and nature, and tethered the horse there for a few hours and off again. Joe Breen now, the great Joe Breen. Joe had a pony and trap on the Croke Park to those games. And they came back in celebration whether they lost or not. It was a great treat. The town was deserted.
And how did you go? How did you make your way up to Croke Park?
In a car. Paddy Bales got rest of them, or Paddy Roach from Rosslare. They used to drive us up about 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. And you'd all, how many piled into the one car?
It could be 7 or 10 in the car.
Yeah.
Paddy Roach had a big, powerful car. What, they could hold 5 normally in the back seat. There could be 7 in it.
And who were your close friends? Was Nicky Rackard one of your close friends?
They were all friends. Mm. Any fella who stripped that time in the dressing room, they were friends, on and off the field. Yeah. Lovely, lovely fellas. And I never heard a bad word out of them. No matter what.
What were the celebrations like after, when you had all Ireland success?
They were fantastic. Yeah. So the whole place closed down. Wexford, on a Monday after an All Ireland final, wouldn't be a centre working on it. Yeah. Not a centre. A new era had hit the town, and the lads took great, great pleasure in it.
So, 54 then and 56 were the two wins. Have I got that right?
That's right.
And when did the third one come, Ned? And what happened in between?
Well, the team broke up. The Rackers went, Nicky went, and Nick O'Donnell went. They were. Nick Rackard, though, he would be, I'm 83, 84 coming. He'd be 94.
If he were here, yeah.
He was alive. Nick O'Donnell the same, but they were fairly hardy. And Mick Hanlon. And sad to say, they're all gone. See, that was an aged team. I was 22. The lads were heading for the 30s, or over the 30s. And they played in those All Irelands.
So then the last was 60 then? You got the third medal.
Yeah, 60. That's right, against Cork.
And who was with you on that team? Was Hopper McGrann and that
Hopper
team?
On the team he was. Seamus Quaid, I think. And
so you were the experienced member of that team?
I would, age-wise, yeah.
And where was your favourite position to play in it?
Middle of the field.
All the time?
Mm. Although I like centre-half-back as well. But middle of the field, I was the Roman type. Like, centre-half-back was a nice place because the ball was coming mostly the one way to you, towards you. Yeah. Middle of the field could come anywhere to you. Yeah.
And when you look back in Wexford in that particular period as well, it was a far different place than what it is now, wasn't it?
Oh my God, yeah. Oh yes. Far different. More go slow effort, no rush, no fuss.
Was it a better place, do you think, in the 50s?
I think it was. I know things are booming today in the town and all that. We hadn't the same industries then. But we had more of a relaxed life. We had more time to talk to the neighbours and up to the field some evenings at 3:30 and over the train. No pressure.
And yet people hold you in such high respect, Ned. Are you even aware of how much respect people have for you?
Oh yeah. I tell you what, they always have time to stop and chat. And it's mostly about hurling that the chat is about. Back in the old days, and some of the people that I talked about hurling, I said they weren't born then.
You have grandsons now who play, haven't you?
I have, but they don't. It's handball. One of them is a good handballer. Yeah. I tell you, they were out one evening. I was there one Saturday, actually, went in Park Harmon, and there was a fella coaching them about hurling, and I could not believe how any adult would try and instill into young fellas how to hit a hurling ball. I could not believe it, his coaching. And I said to myself, is that what's causing the hurling of Wexford to be mediocre?
Why is that?
Because, I mean, they're destroying the natural flair. They're telling chaps what to do. Now, that day I was out in Park Cromwell and one Saturday about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and there's a fellow up in some type of a box and he was reading out a bit of paper. And I could not understand. He was destroying the natural flair.
So what would you say to any young hurler?
Get the hurling and hurling ball and go out in the field and then get your own skills and develop them.
What about the ball and the wall?
Pardon?
The ball and the wall, are you in favour of that, the hurling ball?
Very much so. Very much so. And a handball on the four wall, especially the back wall, and keep doubling it.
What do you think the skills of the game are then, Ned?
The skills, I think, are very low. And I think the coaching, again, I repeat, the coaching is destroying the natural player. That's my humble opinion. There's something awful wrong.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And have you spoken to other Gaels who have a similar mindset to you?
Well, I was talking there to Kevin Murphy. And Kevin is on. He's always on this coaching. Mm. He's against it completely. And he'd be a veteran like myself. Vintage model.
Yeah.
But I can't understand this. There's a lads there never coached in their life and they had every skill in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Has life been good to you?
Life, health-wise, has been excellent, thank God. And the family as well.
Is it true that you still like to venture out and do a bit of fitness work with your comrade-in-arms, Liam Griffin?
Oh, yeah, we're out there some months off the ferry, Harry. That's a great start to the morning. Into the pool and have about 50 lengths of the pool.
Yeah. And when you eventually retired from the hurling, what age were you when you hung up the hurling?
When I hung up the hurling, I was 36 years of age. Mm. About time then, wasn't it?
You miss it? Did you miss it then?
Oh, awfully. Oh, God, yeah. Sunday after Sunday, you go to a match, and you'd miss the banter in the dressing room before and after the game. Mm. Now, Nick O'Donnell and the boys in those days, whether they met it or not, but the subject before the game wasn't on hurling. Yeah. Something else. They tried to divert the whole time from the game itself.
Yeah.
And the same after a match.
And herself is here and she's been potting around the two of us. And so without her, you'd be nowhere, would you?
Oh, definitely.
Support from your partner has been vital.
Oh yeah. Very great.
Yeah.
Never cried in nay or yay when I was going out Sunday mornings and come back late Sunday nights.
Yeah. And Ned, injury-wise, you were okay, apart from one incident. You told me about this before. You had one savage injury, didn't you? Was that in Galway?
That was against Kilkenny in Croke Park. I think it was 50-something, in the 50s.
What happened to you?
I do not know. I got a blow to the head and I came to the matter hospital some days after.
Hmm. And what about that rivalry with Kilkenny? Was it as intense in your day as it is now?
It was, because neighbouring counties again. Hmm. And living on the border, I live now on the border. Just Waterford and Kilkenny. And the rivalry there was intense. And they met, and that wasn't often.
Yeah.
But you imagine living up around Rathnure and around Bannerwilliam in that area.
Yeah.
And the Kilkenny friends of us.
Yeah. And who were the great Kilkenny players? You talked about Christy Ring. In fact, who were the great players when you look back in the career? Who were the toughest opponents in midfield for you, for example?
Well, John Sutton was tough. I tell you who was extremely tough, and I only heard him a few times. Our own Jim Morrissey in club hurling. Jim was a hardy man. That way.
Yeah.
Tough, clean, no prisoners taken, but you felt it.
From morning, a stream of people filed to the gate for the big game. The happy group, keen to see the best in hurling between the Wexford men and the Galway men.
The challenge of an ancient game brought glory, glory to your name. The match winds blew, the crowd still came to watch you, gentle hero. In life's long march, you made us proud, and many a voice from out the crowd called out your name aloud, aloud, an echo still resounding. And Blackstairs men who saw you then still speak of you in awe. On Cormorant's green, where you have been, they tell of what they saw. We watched you on September fields, and lightning was the drive. You were the one Cuchulain's son in 1955.
Now it's Wexford on top, hurling with a dash of champions, gradually their total mounts, and with it their daring.
The hand that held the stick of ash, and the man who led with style and dash, O Carrick Tool once felt the crash, and Bennett's Bridge and Thurles. us, and when in later life you meet the devil on that lonely street, you showed us how to take defeat with dignity and courage. And Blackstair's men who saw you then still speak of you in awe. On Cormoran's Green, where you have been, they tell of what they saw. We watched you on September fields, and lightning was the drive.
Whose point brings the lead to Wexford.
The last parade was sad and slow, the last oration spoken low, and as on green fields long ago, the diamond stood beside you. Oh, friends, they flanked you side by side. The tears they shed were tears of pride. An ash tree toppled when you died, and scattered seeds at random. And Blackstair's men who saw you then still speak of you. They tell of what they saw. We watched you on September fields, and lightning was the drive. You were the one Cú Chulainn's son in 1955. Yes, you in 1955.
Wild with justifiable excitement, running from all ends of the field to cheer and cheer their heroes.